Pastor Corey. Good morning, everyone. Are you excited to be here this morning? Are you expectant? Amen. The Lord is doing something new, and the Lord is moving, and I'm expectant for you, for Manning, for what the Lord is about to do in your life. I didn't come to Manning because I felt like I needed a trip to Canada. I came to Manning because God spoke to me. In my secret place, God spoke to me and He said to me, I need you to go to Manning. I need you to come to this church. So I know, I feel like a FedEx agent. Like I said last night, I need to come and deliver a package. And then I'll be on my way again in next week. But I know that the Lord is dropping something of eternal value in your heart. So my prayer this morning is that you will not hear the voice of man, but that you will hear the voice of God. That you'll not experience the touch of man, but you'll experience the touch of God. And that you will experience a service being held within the four walls of God's throne room. That you will experience a service being held in the atmosphere of eternity, where God's presence will be so tangible and so precious and so strong in your life that you'll even experience the flapping of the angels' wings. That's the God we serve. He's awesome. He's majestic. He's amazing. He's amazing. He's all-powerful, all-knowing. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere at the same time. And God is here to touch you. God is here to reveal things to you that is deposited and invested in your life. And if there's any discouragement in any person's heart this morning, that God will remove any discouragement. And that hope and faith and courage will rise up in your heart. And that you'll fulfill the full call that God has placed upon your life. God has called each and every one of us. He's got a purpose for our lives. His desire is that we will feel the significance, the value we should have on the face of this earth, and that we will just deliver on this earth what He's called us for. Amen. So I seal this prayer in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. I don't have a religious bone in my body. I'm all about relationship with Jesus. So it's okay to pray with open eyes. Okay. I want to say thank you, Pastor Corey. Thank you, Jennifer, for inviting me to come to Manning. And when I see your pastors, I see the love of God. Hearts that are sensitive to the touch of God. I just love seeing your pastor's heart. He loves people. He loves to share. He loves to comfort. He loves to encourage. A man of integrity. People of integrity. People of character. And I want to say, you know, we need to be grateful for the gifts that God has placed in our lives. One of the biggest sins is to be ungrateful and unthankful. And so we need to celebrate for what God has placed in our midst. So thank you, Pastor Corey. Love you much. And I count it a great honor to call you my friend. Thank you. My name is Didier Tison. I'm actually an Afrikaans English speaking Frenchman. So I don't know. I've got dual nationality. I'm a French citizen and a South African citizen. My father was a Frenchman. My mother was a Belgian lady. And grown up in a French home. But at the end of the day, I speak three languages fluently. Afrikaans. I see Murray here from South Africa. Ansi, his wife as well. So I praat Afrikaans ook. En is lekker om Afrikaans te praat. And so I speak English. And then also, il y a un français ici ce matin. Là, derrière, voilà, merci. Bienvenue. And I know I've been in Quebec a few times, so I know Canada is not foreign to French. But it's amazing to be here. And then, also, of course, I speak the heavenly language. Speak in tongues, too. Amen. Oh, we can make jokes in church. That's fine. Okay, so I'm married 34 years to the same lady. Got married in 1989. I met Jesus when I was 17 years old. He walked into my life, stood in front of me in a church service, completely lost, didn't know Jesus at all, didn't know about the crucifixion, didn't own a Bible till up to the age of 17. We never had a Bible in the house. My mother would be a Jehovah Witness 1 week, and then the next week she would be something else. I could never keep track with what's happening. And my father was an atheist. My grandfather was a communist. He was buried just like no service, nothing, no, you know, just been in a coffin, and that's it. But I didn't believe in God up until the age of 17, and I found myself in a church where there was an altar call, and I just experienced Jesus for real in front of me. And His love just came like waves right through me. Boom, boom, boom. And I could not believe that someone could love me that much. And I needed to respond, and I gave my life to Him at that age. And I'll be turning to 55 next month. And so that's 38 years ago. The man that led me to the Lord 38 years ago is still my spiritual father. He has a church in San Antonio, Texas. Also a church in Johannesburg, South Africa. And he's very much in the apostolic office. And he's planted more than 1,200 churches globally. So, you know, we need to honor the people that teaches us things. You know, don't drown the person that taught you how to swim. And respect, and show respect and honor. So that's me. But I'm not here to tell you about me. I'm here to tell you and to share with you what God has shared with me for you. And I believe that God's going to stir your heart this morning. I believe that if any person is stuck in any way, that you'll become unstuck, and that God will have His way. And that any strategy that the enemy had against you will be broken and removed. And any demon that has tried to clutter your mind will be evicted from your life. And that any influence that any demon or any spiritual force that's come against you that is not of God, that it will be decapitated and it will become completely powerless. Because the God that we serve is omnipresent. He's all powerful. There's no power that can stop Him. He's all powerful. There's nothing that can derail what God has purposed for your life. It's only you that can decide not to follow God. It's all up to us. And He's all knowing. There's nothing that God does not know. I want to say to you this morning that God has started something in your life. If you are born again and you know God, He started something in your life. But sometimes things happen that feels like we are derailed. We're missing God. This what happened to me is just too big, God. I cannot overcome this. I want to say to you today that you can overcome anything with God on your side. I want to say to you that the end is not the end until God says it's the end. So I'm just sensing in my heart this morning that God is raising up people. There are people that are arising in the call of God. There are people that are discerning what God is wanting to do in their lives. And I see you sitting here. I've got a word for some of you that are seated here. Personal word. But I see people that are discerning, seeing what the Lord is wanting to establish in their lives. And they are recognizing His intentions for them. And they are starting to engage. You see, the Word of God says in 1 Corinthians 2:16, He says, "For who has known," this is the Amplified translation, it says, "For who has known and understood the mind, the counsels and purposes of the Lord, so as to guide and instruct Him and give Him knowledge. But we have the mind of Christ and do all the thoughts, the feelings and the purposes of His heart." And the Bible says that those who are joined to the Lord is one spirit with Him. And what is eternal life? It means to know, to understand, to perceive, to be one with God, to know God. That's eternal life. It's to know God today, to feel what He feels, to see what He sees, to recognize where He's working in my life, where He's working inside of me inwardly, but also externally, in my family, in my workplace, in my business. What's His intentions for my life? God is alive. And I want to say this to you, that He loves you too much to leave you the way you are. So there's a lot of change happening in many people today. There's a lot of discomfort entering into many people's lives today. When you walk with God, it's not going to be a comfortable ride. It's not going to be a comfortable journey. I see people seated here this morning. God is challenging you. He's been challenging you the last few weeks. He's been challenging you the last few months. You've been experiencing the promptings of the Holy Spirit, the nudges of the Spirit of God in your life, because God is about to shift you. God is about to change things in your life. God is all about transformation. Why? Because God says, I've called you from the place of glory where you are to another level of glory, because you are called from glory to glory. And Christians are not called to be in glory shedding mode. Christians are called to be in glory developing mode. Are you still with me? You guys look so quiet and serious. In Manning. Huh. And God is a God of covenant. And He's got a covenant with you. But you see, what I'm seeing all over the world is like God has just declared war against the forces of darkness that has tried to restrict His children, bring a veil over their eyes, and make them slumber and sleep. We are waiting for an outpouring. God is waiting for us for an uprising. So many of us, we have the Holy Spirit, but the big question is, does the Holy Spirit have us? Am I really living, moving, and existing in Him? For in Him we live and move and have our being. The New Living Translation says it this way, for in Him I live and move and truly exist. So it's in Him, because He's designed me for a specific purpose. He's designed me that I will experience complete fullness, where I will experience complete fulfillment. Money doesn't give you fulfillment. Money only pays for what God's purpose is for your life. And so many people are stuck because the enemy has stolen their resources. You never lose money, it gets stolen from you. The enemy comes only to kill, steal, and destroy. He doesn't come to kill and you to think you lost something. He comes to kill, steal, and destroy. So, you know, there's a certain attitude that God is establishing in His people's lives today. It's, I'm not going to shut up for the truth. I'm not going to hold back for the truth. I'm not going to have an attitude of not making waves. We know the saying, we're not going to, don't speak. No, don't. You're going to make waves. You're going to disturb people. Jesus never held back the truth to save people's feelings. If Jesus would have had that attitude, nothing would have happened. And Jesus wouldn't have performed miracles. Jesus wouldn't have cast out demons. Jesus wouldn't have raised the dead. Jesus came with an attitude to establish truth, to reveal the heart of the Father. Jesus came to share the love of God. Jesus came to say things like they were. He came and spoke words of life. He didn't come to keep the peace. What He said even offended people. That's why they crucified Him. The religion of the day crucified Jesus. Why? Because He spoke the truth. Why? Because He revealed the truth. Why? Because He brought discomfort. Jesus says, don't think that I've just come to bring peace, but I've come to bring the sword. We cannot, Jesus goes on and says, you cannot choose anyone before me. Because if you do, you are not fit for the kingdom of God. Wow, those are heavy words. I believe that God is not counting His people today. God is weighing His people. Too many churches count chairs. They don't weigh the chair. Hello. It's just something about the depth that God is starting to establish in His people's lives today. Deep is calling unto deep. But God has not called us to blend into this world. God has called us to stand out. God has called us to make the sound known which we carry in our hearts, because we've all received an anointing from the Holy Spirit. 1 John 2:27. And that's a uniqueness we carry. There's no one that sounds like you. There's no one that talks like you. There's no one that communicates like you. You are unique. I am unique. And we are not called to blend in. The truth is, nothing changes if we don't confront everything and everyone that is not of God in our lives. Even if it seems seemingly normal. Now, if we would stay low, nothing will grow. We need to rise up in our faith, in our bravery, and in our courage. The decibels of our voice needs to increase and make His sound known. If we don't, listen, God has not called us to lay low in a lie and not rise up in the truth. God has called us to rise up in the truth. If we stay in an existence of comparisons and we will never enter into our uniqueness. If we compare ourselves the whole time with others. Competitiveness. We will stay in a place of competitiveness and never enter a sphere of creativity. We do not serve a God that competes. We serve a God that creates. God's a creator, He's not a competitor. The Word of God says in John 14, verse 14, whatever you ask the Father in my name, I'll do it for you. The Nelson translation says it this way. Whatever you ask the Father in my name and I don't have it, I'll make it for you. God's a creator. So He gives us creativity, and creativity brings prosperity. Creativity brings, when acted upon, brings expansion. It brings development. It brings progress. It brings prosperity. It ushers in prosperity. That's why the most creative, the most prosperous businesses and the most prosperous people are people that has got creative juices in them. Prosperity is found on the plane of creativity, not on the plane of competitivity. Because when you compete, you'll be on top today, but tomorrow you'll be at the bottom. And I want to say this to you, that God even loves your enemies. He wants your enemies also to prosper. Oh, no, 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 no. Yes, 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 yes. He wants them to prosper. It's just the way it is. You see, if we don't stand up in the truth and we lay low in a lie and we allow deception to set in our lives, what happens? Our posture will be the acceptance of the experience of life as society knows it, but not as God has designed it for us. We see a very interesting portion of scripture in Matthew 8, verse 14 to 17, the New Living Translation. It's when Jesus arrived at Peter's house. Peter's mother-in-law was sick in bed with a high fever, but when Jesus touched her hand, the fever left her. Then she got up and prepared a meal for him. That evening, many demon-possessed people were brought to Jesus. He cast out the evil spirits with a simple command, and he healed all the sick. This fulfilled the word of the Lord through the prophet Isaiah, who said, He took our sicknesses and removed our diseases. Now, we need to understand how Jesus comes into Peter's house in Capernaum. Capernaum was a hot spot for Jesus, where many miracles happened. He walks into the house, and Peter's mother is laying sick in bed. She was destined to prepare a meal for him, but she couldn't stand up. Her posture was to lay low in a lie. Peter's house was a property was the property of God. Because Peter belonged to God. And if you belong to God, everything else you own belong to God. We are not owners of anything. We are stewards of everything. Hello? So, but here comes the enemy. He strikes Peter's mother-in-law with a fever. Okay? And she gets sick and she lies in bed with a high fever. So there's infection somewhere. You can put next to the high fever satanic temperature. Because that's exactly what happened to her. And the enemy put her in bed and she was lying low in a lie where she was destined before time began to prepare a meal for the Son of God that would sleep that night in Peter's house. But he tried to derail her destiny. He tried to derail her purpose. And she was laying low in a lie. But there's something that happened. Jesus touched her. There are too many people that are laying low in a lie. They are infected somewhere. And they need a touch from Jesus to get out of that posture that was not for them to be in. Where they are laying low in a lie where God says you need to rise up and stand on your feet. Take your place. Take your position. And act the way I've called you to act and do what I've called you to do. You need to take your position. And if you look at what that means, you know, I mean, excuse me. Laying sick in this portion of scripture means to throw or to let go of a thing without caring where it falls. It means to scatter, to throw, to cast into, to give over to one's care, uncertain about the result. I want to say this to you, when we walk with God, we trust the Lord, we're not uncertain about the income, the outcome. We know that the outcome will be for our benefit. Because if God is for us, who can be against us? Okay? But the word touch, the Bible says Jesus touched her. The Greek word for touch is haptu. It means to set fire. It means to listen, to fasten, to adhere to fasten fire to a thing, to kindle, to set a fire. In other words, this is what it means. It means to remove satanic temperature and influence and exchange it for my life. That's why we need a touch from God. Because that's the Christian life. God is taking away my weakness for His strength. He's taking away my sin for His life. That's the Christian life. It's a life of exchange. He takes away my poverty for supply, for providence. Come on, people. That's how we get unstuck. That's how we get out of the tomb. That's how we get out of the slumber. That's how we get out of the sleep. That's how we start expecting again. That's how we start to have new hope. Because when God comes into a situation, all hopelessness has to go. It gets evicted. All slumbering needs to die. And things come alive. Because you cannot stand in God's presence and be asleep. So it's an exchange. She was lying in bed. And the Son of God is in her house. The Son of God, the giver of life. The author of life, the one that created her, he's in her house. But she's infected somewhere. And Jesus touched her. I'm taking away the satanic temperature in your life. I'm getting you unstuck. You are not called for this posture. You are not called to lay low in a lie. You are called to rise up in the truth. That's what your calling is. You are not called to operate at 50%. You are called to be filled with energy, to be filled with hope, to be filled with courage, to be filled with destiny, to be filled with the power of the Most High, from the Most High God, because you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. The temple of the Holy Spirit. You don't own a part of God, you own the fullness of God. So in other words, you are the address of God on earth. I see so many people, Christians today, that are so stuck because they are still thinking too small. Oh my word. I just hear a lot of things here in my spirit now at this time. Are you guys with me? It's okay if I get excited, eh? Okay. It's impossible for me just to. You see, my value is not measured by my success or what I own. It's measured by my ability to surrender. John said, I need to become less so he can become more. I want to say to you, there are many people seated here. God is calling you to become less. God is calling you to lay things down. Who's experiencing that God is killing off many things in your life? This is happening right now in your life. I see God killing off many things in your life. God's removing things from your life. You are actually dying 1,000 deaths. It's happening in your life right now. God's removing things. Why? Because God needs space. Other things has taken too much space in your life that's not from Him. And God says, I need those things to be evicted from you, out of your life. But you see, the enemy did not have the legal right to touch Peter's house. He tried his luck. And the enemy tries his luck with us. Because he doesn't want us to discern him, to identify him. He's playing hide and seek. Thinking you must just evaluate it as just a normal chain of events. Well, it's normal to be infected. It's normal to have a high fever. But Jesus immediately discerned it as an attack of the enemy and evicted that presence of the enemy out of Peter's house. Peter's house was God's property. And he wasn't allowed to attack Peter's house. But you see, we need to understand and realize that everything I own is God's property. My marriage is God's property. My trucks is God's property. My house is God's property. My children is God's property. And devil, if you want to touch it, you'll need to get through me. And I refuse that you touch it. I refuse that you infect it. I refuse that you contaminate it. I refuse that you destroy this. I refuse that you will rob my children's life from them. I come against you in the name of Jesus Christ. And I command you to get out of this place. Change your posture. And that's the attitude that Joshua had. Joshua, when he went into the promised land, what did he say? He spoke to Christians, people that saw the miracle working power of God in the wilderness. People that saw how God has destroyed the enemy in front of them. And he spoke to them and he said, listen guys, I need to tell you something in Joshua 4 verse 15 in the New American Standard Bible. He speaks to Christians. People that are in covenant with God. And he says this to them. This is astonishing. For me, it's astonishing. Does the people still have to make up their mind? Because he says here, he says, if it is disagreeable in your sight to serve the Lord. Wow. Speaking to Christians. If it's disagreeable in your sight to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves today whom you will serve. Huh? Whether the gods which your fathers served, which were beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I made up my mind. You know that that word house, you know what it means? It's bayit in the Hebrew. It means family. Me and my family, we're going to serve the Lord. It means me and my buildings, we're going to serve the Lord. It means me and my business, we're going to serve the Lord. It means me and my animals, we're going to serve the Lord. Me and my household affairs, we're going to serve the Lord. And it actually says, me and every receptacle I own will serve the Lord. Everything that receives something from God will give everything back to God. I'm not an owner of everything. I'm a steward of everything. Now, 2 Chronicles 16 verse 9 says, the eyes of the Lord search the whole earth in order to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to Him. I call this scripture the heavenly radar. We think that radar is high-tech technology, you know, but it means, I mean, God's word says, I search the whole earth to see whose heart is fully committed to me, whose heart is fully focused on me, who's depending on me. And so God says, I go crisscrossing over the earth and I'm looking for a bleep. Bleep, coming over Manning. Bleep, bleep. I see someone here whose heart is fully committed to me. And then God says, He makes a promise. He says, and then I will strengthen that person's heart in order to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to Him. That means I will give that person supernatural capabilities. That's what it actually means. Now, who of you has got a dream? Do you have a dream? Please, not everyone's hands at the same time. Do you have dreams in Manning? Who's got a dream for their life? Just show me your hand. Okay, think about that dream. Do you need resources to fulfill that dream? Hello? Do you need money? I have a dream. And I need lots of money for my dream. Now I want to talk to you about something about resources, because you need resources, whether you like it or not. You need money, whether you like it or not. Jesus speaks about money all across the New Testament. Money is needed. It needs to provide for your family, needs to provide for education, needs to provide for healthcare. Money is not a swear word. Prosperity is not a swear word. I think prosperity has been abused in the church in many ways. It has. Okay? Because God's not a casino. The kingdom of God's not a casino. But we need to understand what God teaches us in His word rightfully about prosperity. Prosperity comes from God. When God speaks to Abram, He says, I'm going to extravagantly bless you. Wow! He says, I'm going to multiply you. Your riches will be exceedingly great. Wow, those are words that God uses in the Bible. God does not want one of us to be poor. Not one of us. It doesn't say you won't have challenges. It just says when you go through a valley, you have a promise. God will take care of you. He will supply all your needs according to His riches in glory through Christ Jesus. That's a promise. Okay, so most people believe that God determines the flow of money into their lives. Most people believe that. God does not determine the flow of money into our lives. He doesn't. If that was so, the mafia would be poor and all pastors would be rich. Come on now. That's the truth. If that was so, there would not be poverty-stricken villages in Africa or in India. God does not determine the flow of money into our lives. There are natural laws and there are spiritual laws. There's a law of gravity. If you're on a plane and that plane wings breaks off, guess what? Whether you believe in the law of gravity or not, that plane comes down. Okay? There are principles in the Word of God which we need to adhere to. If there's any religious spirit in this place, I'm coming for you. I want to say that to you. because pastors are scared to talk on the subject. And I see that people, well, most, I'm not saying all pastors, but some pastors are scared to speak on that because they don't want to offend people. But they're actually robbing people from a blessing. Whether you believe in these laws or not, they work for you or they work against you. The Bible speaks about principles. So if I apply the principles of God's word in my life, they work for me. They determine the flow of money into my life. God says, I count my word higher than my name. He will not change His word to accommodate you. God will not change His word to accommodate you. So that is just the way it is. Each and every one of you has got a dream. This ministry has a dream. This church has a dream. The people in this church has callings. They have destinies. And God is fully supportive for you to accomplish your journey on this earth and be successful. He's wanting to see you prosper. He's wanting to see you fulfill the full call that God has for you on this earth. But we need to understand that our life will go nowhere without the needed resources. Come on, people. Who of you has realized that you needed a vehicle to come to church? And you needed to put gas in that vehicle? You need resources to move. You need money. Okay. So there are three different ways that you release money from your hand in the kingdom of God. Three different ways. Okay. I just want to name them to you. I just want to teach you. I'm just dropping valuable input into your life today that will change your life forever. Now, you're looking at a man that was poorer than a church mouse, him and his wife, 23 years ago. We were drowning in debt until we became fed up with this kind of lifestyle. And we said to God, God, we will honor you. We will follow you. We will do everything you tell us and teach us in your word. And we just took that decision. We were sitting in a celebration service 23 years ago in the year 2000, drowning in debt. Our credit cards maxed. Okay, we knew how to go and pay at the grocery store for our groceries for the month on budget account. In other words, we would pay off our groceries in 12 months. That's where we were. And we said to God in that celebration service, God spoke to our hearts. Me and Sis, my wife, we sat there in that service and they were teaching on the principles of God's kingdom in terms of our finances. And we sat there and God spoke to my heart. He said to me, you give your last 50 rand that I had, a note, 50 rand note, South Africa 50 rand. There was a line on it. It was a beautiful note, the biggest note you could find. But that was meant for fuel to get back home that night. No. We were already coming on fumes to the church. And I couldn't get back home on fumes. I needed to put in fuel. But we sat there. And God spoke to our hearts, my heart, and He spoke to my wife individually. I didn't even know what He was saying to her. But we were fed up with our situation. We needed to get out of debt. We needed to get out of the situation. We needed to get out of the mentality of only surviving and not thriving. And we sat there. And God said to me, so everything that you have on your person, I just had 50 rand. And that offering receptacle came close. And I was sweating. And I was thinking, no, God, this can't be you. I want to say this to you. The enemy will never tell you to give. Okay? Never. Okay? If you want to know, that's it. Because God always gives back to you, pressed down, shaken together, pressed down and running over. And individually to my wife, he said, you sow your little Kruger Rand, little one-tenth Kruger Rand golden coin that I gave her, a special gift with a little golden chain. He said to her, you give that evening. She took it off. I didn't even know about it. And she sowed it into that offering receptacle. So that offering receptacle came by. She put in her little chain and with her little one-tenth Kruger Rand, golden Kruger Rand, and I put in my 50 Rand. And there goes the offering receptacle, and I wanted just to run after and say, stop, I just made a mistake. I just want to get it back, you know. But I let it go, and I just obeyed God. Okay, but something happened in the spirit that day. The spirit of lack was broken. Boom. Okay. Broken. 2 years after that, we had millionaire status. Right after that, things shifted and changed. God brought opportunities to us. God gave us contracts. God just blessed us. But after that, or just after that, now I'm sitting in that service. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, how am I going to get back? So I'm just like, okay, this is just an impossible thing. I got no more money. I cannot draw any money. Don't have money. So I go back to the foyer where this man's material was sold. And the people are buying up all his material. And I'm just looking at this, how people are buying everything he's selling. And one of my friends, pastor friends, he comes to me and he taps me on the shoulder. I don't know how long I was watching all the people buying all his material. And he puts three of those notes in my hand. He says, Didi, I just want to bless you with 150 rand. So I take the 150 rand. I forget about the fuel. I just buy everything I could with that 150 rand. I just wanted that material. I wanted to know exactly what the principles of God is and how they truly operate. And I took that 150 rand. I bought everything I could. We went back home on fuel, on fumes. We made it. But that the next day already, God already started blessing us. And I just took those tapes. Those years, it's tapes, okay? For all the young people, that's like very far back. Okay. And I was just listening to tapes, getting the word into my spirit. Okay. And then I started to apply the principles of God and everything shifted. Everything changed. Why? Because when the favor of God comes on you, you prosper. That's just the way it is. No one can stop the favor of God. No one and nothing. Even your enemies will bless you even if they don't like you. Because that's the way it works. It's favor. It's a mantle that comes upon you. You're aligned with God. All right? So what are the principles of God? The first law that exists that we need to apply is the tithe. 10% of our full income belongs to God. 10%. That places us in covenant with God. Why is a farmer a farmer? Why are you a farmer, Chris? What makes you a farmer? You're born into it. No, that doesn't make you a farmer. What? Plants a seed. But what makes him a farmer? A farmer is only a farmer when he has a title deed. He owns soil. Seed does not make you a farmer. You knowing the word of God doesn't make you a Christian. You can quote the promises like you want to. It doesn't make you a Christian. A farmer is a farmer because he has a title deed. He paid for his farm. He's got soil. You can have 10,000 bags of seed in your shed. It doesn't make you a farmer. You're a farmer because you have soil. You have a title deed. That soil, you've got a covenant with that soil. That's why Jesus, when he talks about the four different soils, he doesn't put the emphasis on the seed. He puts the emphasis on the soil. What's the soil of our hearts? What's the soil of our lives? It's our hearts. The soil of our lives is our hearts. And a farmer, Chris is a farmer. He's a great big farmer, I believe. Great farmer. I've seen some of his operations on Facebook. But I mean, he understands he needs to create environment for seed. Because if he doesn't create environment, the seed will be useless. It will not bring and yield the full results, the full potential that's in that seed. So it's all about environment. So the tithe gives you a title deed. You now aligned with God. Some people say, well, it's Old Testament. It's under the law. Abram tithed before the law came. Get your act in order. The tithe is not only law. It's also in the law, but it was already practiced before the law came. Abram tithed to Melchizedek. Okay, go and study it. Jesus said to the Pharisees, you're doing well, you're tithing. But still, I've got this against you. The tithe is a title deed. It's covenant. It's covenant. What does the tithe do? It places you in line. It places you in alignment. It positions you to give and to receive. No farmer is going to put his seed on another farm, in another farmer's soil. He puts it in his own soil. Hello? That's what the tithe do. It gives you access to your soil. Are you still with me? Okay, so the first thing you need to do to be aligned with God, to be able to prosper, is you need to be a tither. Some people ask me, how much must I, you know, but 10% is, you know, if you've got a problem with 10%, make it 12, okay? But just, you need to tithe, okay? Some people say before tax or after tax, okay? How much do you want to be blessed? Come on, people. Well, you see, when God owns your heart, He owns your money. And so then God will trust you with more. That's why when we are children of God, we are not owners of anything. We are stewards of everything. He owns everything. Okay? So, I'm a tither, so I'm a title deed holder. I have access to my soil. I can go into my fields any day I want to. I have the rightful access to my soil. It's my property. The day I start tithing, that tithe is enough for God to supply all your needs, what you need to fulfill His purpose in that certain season of your life. Your field is that big for you to be blessed by God in such a way that will pay for everything that is caused and purposed for you for that time in your life. Okay? That's how big your field is. So your tithe is not giving God anything. When you bring your tithe to the storehouse, which is the church where you worship, where you are being fed the word of God, that's where you bring your tithe to. Who of you eat, or you come to, you know, you waste, is there two restaurants in Manning? Okay. Okay, you don't eat at the snack bar. I saw a snack bar down there. Snack shack. Snack shack. Okay, you don't eat at the snack shack and go and pay at Subway. You don't do that. Okay, where you worship and where you are being fed the word of God, that's where you bring your tithe. Now, when you bring your tithe to the storehouse, you didn't give God anything. You just brought back to God what belongs to Him anyway. 10% is holy to the Lord. And the Bible teaches us in the book of Malachi, if we withhold the tithe from God, we actually rob God. Some people say, well, I cannot afford to tithe. You cannot afford not to tithe. If you look at the book of Haggai, people were waiting for God first to prosper them before they could attend to the house of God. It doesn't work that way. You first bring a sacrifice to the Lord, and then He will miraculously work in your life. That's the way it is. Hello? Are you okay? All right, so we understand. So what does the word say? Listen to this. This is the God Word Translation. I don't know if you've got... Do you have the God Word Translation, Pastor Terrell? Okay. Listen to this. 2 Corinthians 9 verse 10 says, God gives seed to the farmer. In other words, God gives seed to the title deed holder. To the person that's in covenant with me. That is a tither. 10% of what their income is, they return back to me. And so they're in covenant with me. And then he says, and food to those who need to eat. God will also give you seed. And what does he say about the seed? He will multiply the seed. In your lives, he will increase the things you do that has his approval. Hello? So we don't tithe and we don't give to become rich. We tithe and give because we love God. What is the language of love? Giving. For God loved the world so much that He gave His only begotten. Hello? The language of love is giving. And we give lovingly, not lustfully. Because God's not a casino. Am I coming across? Are you guys okay? I'm dropping things in your life today. Listen, that will set you free, that will prosper you, that will increase you, that will expand you. Because God says, I will multiply everything you do in your life if you're in covenant with me and you trust me. Nothing happened in me and my wife's life until we said we are giving our lives to this. We will do what God's word says. We will not compromise. And we will do it to the T, and I still do it today. We don't even, our tithe is not 10%. We probably tithe 60 to 70%. And God watches over us. God increases us. We've seen God coming through for us more than 100 times. Listen, that has His approval. And so when God starts to bless us, what does most Christians do? They buy toys to serve themselves. And before you know it, they don't have time to come to church because they bought a speedboat, something like that. When you follow God, you buy tools to serve the kingdom. Not toys to serve yourself. Listen, we are talking about real Christianity here. Come on now. Real Christianity. So the tithe, do we all understand the tithe? Not really? Who said that? Okay. Well, get the tape and listen to it again. Okay? So 10% of your income belongs to God. Now, Malachi talks about offerings. Offerings can be divided into two actions, if you understand it well. So every farmer understands that he cannot just go and plant or sow his seed on the surface of the soil. Chris will tell you he needs to take out his tractors. He needs to take out heavy equipment that cost him a lot. He needs to put fuel in those vehicles. And he needs to go down to the fields and break the soil and burn a lot of money before he will sow one seed. What does he do? That's an offering. That's giving. Why? How come? Because he gives without holding back. Because he understands that he's creating environment. He's creating environment for that seed to hit the soil one day. And that seed will respond because to the environment. Seed is not programmed to break into. Seed is programmed to break out of. You can take seed. You can take a corn pip. And you can take a hammer and break it open. You will not see the glory in there. You will just completely destroy it. Seed needs to be in the right environment for the seed to respond its own way. And that's the incorruptible seed of God. When it hits a healthy heart, it responds. And it starts showing its glory. Oh, Chris understands that he first has to nurture the soil. He has to give to the soil. He has to fertilize the soil. He has to get rid of the toxins that will withhold the nutrients from the plant. He has to bring the soil to the neutral pH, because that's when the exchange happens. Cations and ions, huh? Are we talking the same language? Huh? Yeah. Because you see, if there's too many aluminium particles in the soil, it will withhold all the good nutrients to the plant. Because it's like a magnet. It keeps the nutrients from the plant. And so although the nutrients exist in the soil, it's not available to the plant. And that's why God says, if you cannot forgive someone, I cannot forgive you. If you carry bitterness in your heart, you can be a walking Bible. There will be no fruit. And no power. Toxins. The soil of our lives is our hearts. That's why God says in Proverbs 4:23, He says, guard your heart above all else, because out of your heart flows the issues of life. He doesn't say guard your marriage above all else. Hello? He doesn't say guard your bank account above all else. Come on, people. This is real Christianity. He says you guard your heart above all else, because out of your heart, out of your spirit, flows all the issues you have in your life. And it's the soil of our lives is our hearts. So why does God say, I love a joyful giver? Because He makes noise when He gives. And He goes, whoa, it's time to give. No. Why does God say it's more blessed to give than to receive? Why does God say that? Because God created us. He knows how we were designed. He knows that every time you give, something happens to the heart. Our hearts become sensitive and responsive to the touch of God. That is our wealth. Our money is not our wealth. It's the ability to hear God. It's the ability to commune with God. It's the ability to become one with God. It's the ability to be fertile for God. That's our wealth. Money is not our wealth. Our wealth is to be one with God. Our wealth is the ability to hear God, to hear His voice, to be able to commune with Him, to be able to be one with Him. It's intimacy with God. We cannot have intimacy with God without giving, without sharing, without being kind, without being loving. That's why the enemy comes against giving. And people has got preconceived ideas, because I know it's been abused. You don't people know, many Christians know God for His benefits. But they don't know God enough to be challenged by Him. They know God enough for His promises. Come on, people. What does God say in the book of Ezekiel? He says, I will give them a new heart. I'll take out their heart, the stony heart, out of their flesh. And I'll put within them a heart of flesh that will be sensitive and responsive to the touch of God. Wealth is not your money. Wealth is your ability to be one with God. That's your wealth. So a farmer understands he first needs to fertilize that soil. He first needs to put money in that soil. Not because he wants something in return. Just because he loves God. He loves to take care of his soil. He loves his land. My heart is my place of connectivity with the Lord. So every time I give, something happens in my heart. So a healthier life, a healthier heart, equals a healthier life. Okay. So what does soil do when it's been tended, looked after, cared for? It starts, it waits, it's expecting. Something needs to come my way. Because I'm filled with energy. I'm filled with life. I'm filled with nutrients, and the farmer waits for the right moment. And what does he do? He puts the seed in the soil. And that seed responds because it's in the right environment. Jesus talks about in Mark chapter 4, you can go and read it, the four different soils. Some on the footpath, and the birds come and take it away. Some fall in shallow soil and just, and then it dies. Okay? And then some fall in the soil, and then it grows, but then the weeds grow with it and it suffocates it. The weeds are the pleasures of life, okay, and also the worries of life. And then there's other soil that's fertile, 30%, 60%, 100%. 100-fold. You see, it's all about the environment. It's not the potential of the seed. It's all about the environment. Why? Because the seed has already been programmed by God. It's limitless, actually. The incorruptible seed of God, the Word of God, has got limitless power and can bring limitless results. Extraordinary life. But what does seed represent? Jesus says, a farmer does not understand how it works. He plants the seed in the soil, then goes to bed. Next morning he wakes up, says, whoop! Ha! Two blades came out! Wow! So exciting. What does he start seeing? He starts seeing glory. He's just been obeying. He's just been listening and being guided by God. And as he obeys, the glory reveal is being revealed. If we want supernatural momentum in our lives, we need to obey. I remember when God spoke to me just after we sowed that seed. He said to me, I want you to get out of debt. Now you need to stop making debt. Those years I loved buying clothes. I would just go buy clothes on credit. And God said to me, you stop making debt. I said, God, I'll stop making debt. And so a week after that, after he spoke to me, I needed to go and pay my Macy's account. Do you have Macy in Macy's? What? Hudson Bay. Hudson Bay. Okay, so I went to Hudson Bay to go and buy my, you know, to go and pay my clothing account. And as I walk in there, I see shirts that are on sale. Beautiful shirts, 50% discount. So I'm saying to myself, wow, this is a bargain. So I said to myself, this is such a bargain that even God will be impressed with me. You know, God is just going to say, yeah, well done. you really bought a bargain there. And so I took the shirt, I took it to the counter, I paid my account, and then I put the shirt on my account. And that night I go home, I start praying, and my prayer hits the ceiling. And I'm asking myself, what's happening? Maybe God's just busy, you know, and maybe I should pray louder. And so I'm praying louder, shouting out to God. And then I realize, listen, something's wrong. And so I ask God, God, what's wrong? And he shows me the shirt. And I say, come on, God. This was a bargain. God, come on. You can't be serious. So he said to me, son, didn't I tell you to stop making debt? I said, yes, God, you did. So then he said this to me. He said to me, will you obey me or will I have to teach you? I said, time out. Time out. Okay. So what happens when we obey? Every time we obey, we create and we act on what God instructs us. We increase our spiritual momentum. We increase supernatural momentum. So many Christians move at 5 miles an hour down the freeway. When they hit an obstacle, they don't even need to hit the brakes. They make a U-turn and go the other way. Okay? No momentum. But when you obey God, every act of obedience, you go from 5 miles to 20 miles to 50 miles to 100 miles. And when you go down 100 miles an hour down the freeway and there's an obstacle, you don't even have time to hit the brakes. Okay? You just go... You go right through. You don't get distracted. When you get tempted along the way, you don't have time. Like a 5 miles. Ooh, yeah. Oh, that's nice. And you get distracted. But when you got supernatural momentum in your life, you go, you don't have time to look at temptation. Because there's supernatural momentum. You listen and obey. All right. So what I see, okay, are you still with me? I'm trying to cramp in as much as possible in a very short space of time. So I hope you guys are fine. Seed. When a farmer looks at seed, and he puts that seed in the right environment, and that seed starts to reveal its glory. Two blades, four blades. Wow. I mean, he could have broken that seed open. He would never see the glory in that seed. He had to put that seed in the right environment for the seed to respond itself, because glory comes from within, not from without. Okay? Six blades. Wow, now he gets into corn plant. Now the flower, the tassel at the top, the male. And the female is the ear. And the ear is always in a worship position. She always looks up. Hello? I can go into scientific language there, but I won't. I don't have time. I want to minister to some people. But so anyway, so what happens? At the end of the day, there's pollination taking place. Millions of pollens falling onto the female. She only needs 600, but the male tassel has got like 7 or 8 million. I can't remember now. But 7 or 8 million pollens, boom, dumping on that female. You would know, Chris, a corn plant determines its yield the first 40 days of its existence. After that, you can't do anything to determine the yield. You can make the plant more nicer and more greener, but it doesn't. The plant already programs its yield in the first 40 days of its existence. It's very interesting. I can go into that. That's another thing. I can teach on this for a week solid. Okay. So the seed, the seed for a farmer, doesn't see a wagon full of seed and a bank account full of money. What he sees is the farm next door. What he sees is more tractors. What he sees is vision. That's what seed does. So this is how I operate my life. I'm just sharing nuggets, but in a nutshell, I'm a tither. It aligns me with God's purpose and it puts me in covenant with God financially. I'm a tither. The enemy is not allowed to touch my harvest. If he does, I have the authority to rebuke him. And God also promises that he will rebuke the devourer for my sake. Malachi chapter 3. I'm a tither. I'm aligned with God. I'm a giver. Why? Because I want to possess a heart that is sensitive and responsive to the touch of God, because that's my wealth. Okay? And then as I walk with God, God shows me my future. What does Jesus say about the Holy Spirit? I will send you the Holy Spirit and he will show you about your future. Hello? Okay? And so now I'm starting to see things down the line. My momentum, if you drive at 5 miles an hour, you don't need signboards to say that you're going to hit a curve. You won't even know it when you're in the curve, because you drive at 5 miles an hour. There's no danger for you. But if you drive at 120 miles an hour because you're listening and obeying and you're implementing what God is saying, God will start talking to you about 3 years down the line, 5 years down the line, 10 years down the line, because of the momentum you possess in your life. That's why certain people see further down in the future than others, because they've got supernatural momentum. Why? Because that's part of good governance. Part of good governance is to foresee and to prepare so that you can take decisions in your present situation according to your future belief. Are you catching this? So in other words, what did Solomon ask God? He said, give me wisdom. Why? So that I can govern your people well. Govern. Go and look what the word govern means. It means to foresee and to prepare so that I can take decisions in my present circumstances, my present living time, in my present existence, according to what I believe will happen in the future. So I can foresee and prepare for the future in my present situation. And so when you start moving with God, what happens? Now, I'm aligned with God. I tithe. I'm in position. I'm in a position of authority. I'm in a position of favor. I'm in covenant with God. Now I've got access to my field. I can give. Okay? Tithing comes before giving. Now I give to the soil. I give to the heart. My heart becomes sensitive and responsive. My heart is starting to get the frequencies of heaven for my life. Okay? And now, all of a sudden, God speaks to me about my projects in the future. And what happens? He says, I want you to sow a seed for that project. And you know it may be 2 years down the line, but you release a seed. Let's say it's a $5 million project. And God says, I want you to sow a $50,000 dollar seed. Hello? What happens? You connect your present with your future. And what starts to happen? You are pulling your future into your present. Oh my word. Some of you are looking at me. Where are you coming from, Didi? Am I making sense? I encourage you to buy the book on Amazon, Living Life in the Optimum Zone. It's one of the books that I wrote on this. I've actually just finished another one. Financial Alignment According to Kingdom Rule. It's being released in 6 weeks from now. It won't be available on Amazon. It's only going to be on hard copy for the first year. But I want to say this to you. 14 months ago, the Lord instructed me and He said to me, I want you to start a private Zoom meeting with business people. And I did so. So I opened it up for business people, business family. I've got a global business family. And I opened up this business Zoom meeting only for 80 people. When we open it, within 1 or 2 hours, it's full. 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 We started this 14 months ago. I did 9 sessions already. More than a dozen of them are already multimillionaires. They weren't. I want to say this to you, that God is redeeming time supernaturally. I want to say this to you, that God has got a plan for your life. You need to think big. It's a sin to be small-minded. Pastor Terrell, that first scripture. Sorry. Oh, man. Am I far over my time, mate? I'll tell you now. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 29 to 30. Now, we serve a large-minded God, not a small-minded God. It's a sin to be small-minded. The day we start looking at government to take care of us, we're in trouble. But except for these special cases, I'm not going to walk around on eggshells worrying about what small-minded people might say. Paul is writing that. So he's not tiptoeing. He says, I'm going to stride free and easy, knowing what our large-minded master has already said. That's what Paul says. Okay, I'm just going to stop there just for the sake of time. The next scripture, Galatians 5, 19 to 21, Message Translation. Listen to this. It is obvious what kind of life develops out of trying to get your own way all the time. Repetitive, loveless, cheap sex, a stinking accumulation of mental and emotional garbage, frenzied and joyless grabs for happiness, trinket gods, magic show religion, paranoid loneliness, cutthroat competition. He classifies that with cheap sex. Hello? He classifies that with fornication. Hello? Cutthroat competition, all-consuming yet never satisfied wants, a brutal temper, an impotence to love or be loved, divided homes and divided lives. Listen. Small-minded and lopsided pursuits. Wow! Hey! God is not a small-minded God. God is a large-minded God. God thinks big. Oh my word. The vicious habit of depersonalizing everyone into arrival, uncontrolled and uncontrollable addictions, ugly parodies of community, and I could go on. That's what Paul says. Rise to the Galatians. God is not a competitor. God is a creator. You have got, I have got incorruptible seed, an arsenal. We are weaponized with an arsenal of incorruptible, supernatural seed. And God says, if you will just give me environment. That's all. He says, host me. He says, seek me and you will find me. He says, pray and I will show up. He says in Jeremiah 33 verse 3, call on me and I will show and reveal things to you you know nothing about. Oh, that's the God we serve. That's the God we serve. He's alive. And He's wanting to be involved in every detail of our lives. He wrote a book about your life. Psalm 139, a book about your life. He says in that book, He says in the Bible in Psalms 139, He says every detail of your life is recorded in that book. In other words, every shoe you buy, every clothing you own, He says, I knew it before time began. Amen. If you learn something, I'm going to stop there. So where do you come from? Yeah? Yes, you. Jamaica, stand up, please. Is this your son? Where's your wife? At home. What do you do here for a living? At the mill. Okay, how long have you been in Canada? 8 years. You're on a very special time with the Lord. Many things have been moving around in your life, especially the last year. And things are still going to move very intensely in your life the next 2 or 3 years. God is doing a lot. Are you in this church? Are you in this church? Okay. Because what I do see is our heart filled with envelopes. And it's like God is opening up envelopes in your heart, and He's allowing you to read the letters from heaven at this time. So there's a call of God on your life. There's a ministerial call of God also on your life. And God is, you know that. Do you know that? Okay. Have you been in the ministry before? There's a ministerial mantle on you. God has called you to minister. So are you in a Bible school in this time? Okay. But I see that you need to really engage in the training that God is offering you in this time. God is showing you where to engage. He's doing this now in your life. There's certain things that God is showing you. He's opening up envelopes and He's revealing things to you you knew nothing about for this season of your life. Things are intensifying in your life. God is calling you. God is ripening you. He's preparing you because He's going to launch a ministry in your life. Okay? That's the call of God on your life. Okay? Come here. Come stand here in the front. And just stand there and look at, face me, please. And then Barry, hey, Barry and Carol, stand up, please. Just want to release this word over your life. You are in a stretching season. You feel like an elastic band. If you don't feel like it, you're going to feel like it more and more and more. It's like God has got you just like under His foot in the one sense and in His hand in the other sense. And He's pulling this elastic band. He's going... And then you're saying, God, no, you can't pull anymore because I'm going to snap. And God says, oh, you think so? And then you're saying, no, God, no, I can't. You can't do this. God says, no, I can. And He's just, what's He doing? He's creating capacity in your life. And so this is what God is doing in your life right now. He's making room, much more room for Himself. He's making room for the call that He has placed on your life. It's a time of revealing. It's a time of preparation. He's challenging both of you in the Word. He's challenging you in the knowledge of the Word. I see that you are hungry for the Word. You are soaking up in everything that He can give you. It's like this hunger cannot be satisfied. This hunger will increase. It will become more prominent. It will become more deep. It will cry out. You will not be able to satisfy it. You are both called for ministry and for business. There's a kingly and a priestly anointing on you. That's what's on your life. Okay? So God says God's favor is very much on you. Very much. His favor is on you. You are prosperous already. But God says you have not seen anything yet. I'm going to do much more in your life. Okay? So I see that God is going to make, in a shorter space of time, He's going to increase you financially. So in other words, productivity is going to increase. He's going to give you the strategy. He's going to give you the blueprint, exactly how things need to be put together. And then also, while you are obeying to that side of your life, God says, while you are obeying God in the ministry side, teaching yourself, exposing yourself for what He's wanting to invest in you, God says the business will grow effortlessly. Okay? Effortlessly. You know how to work. You are a hard worker. My word. you will sacrifice and you will just pay the price, but you will advance because you know how to work. You know how to put your shoulder to the wheel. It's just the way you were raised, probably. But I can see that no price is too big for you. You can sacrifice what needs to be sacrificed to attain your goals. Barry, and I'm looking at you. And so God's favor is upon you. Carol, you've done well. God says, I need to tell you, you've done well. And He's pleased with you. Now, when I look at your life, this is what I see. I see God smiling on you. That's what I see. So God's favor is all over you. God's raising you up as teachers. Teaching the word first, and then I see a pastoral call on them too. I want to say this to you, and I'm releasing this word over this ministry. This ministry is going to enter very soon into an apostolic move. Hear what the Lord is saying. You're going to be planting churches from this church. Pastor Corey, hear what the Lord is saying. So God is putting a demand on certain people here to grow quickly and put in the effort. You are latching on to what you are experiencing in the Spirit, and that brings pleasure to the heart of God. So God's favor is all over you. He's raising you up. Your business will grow and ministry will grow at the same time. But He's creating capacity for Himself, for you to be able to handle all the responsibility that He's bringing to your life. Okay? Bless you. Amen. Let's give Jesus a hand. Come on, man. Okay. What's your name again? What? Gavery. Okay. So there's a ministerial call on your life. And it's just like God is very jealous on your time. I see that you are becoming uncomfortable when you spend time on things that are not bad, but it's just not what God wants you to spend time on. So He's very jealous in this time. Where you put your focus on, and He's calling you to give you attention to what you need to invest in to get you prepared for the ministry. That call is on your life. Okay, you will not be satisfied. There's a dissatisfaction growing in you today. There's a dissatisfaction growing in you. I see family that you are concerned about. Where are they? Okay, I see family you are carrying concern. You are praying for them. It's just like they are going through a very tough time. And God says, I'm taking care of the situation. Okay? Raise your hands to the Lord. Close your eyes. Close your eyes. Both hands. Just raise both hands to the Lord. There's the presence of God on you. It's coming over you. There's the first wave. That's it. It's just left me. First wave is coming over you. There's the second wave coming over you. There you are. Okay, now there's a mantle coming on you right now. There it is. There it is. There it is. A mantle on your shoulders. It's coming. Receive it. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Bless you. Amen. Praise God. You can go and you can take a seat. Thank you. Bless you. Ma'am, there at the back, what I see in your life, there are things dying in your life. Now, things that's just losing any grip on you. It's losing the strength it had to pull your focus or your attention away from God. Things are dying and other things are birthing in your life. You are in a season of death and birth at the same time. Okay? That's what I see in your life. God bless you. Any person here with back pain? Back pain? Okay. Any other person? Back pain? Come. Stand up, please. Back pain. Come. Come forward. Back pain? Back pain? You're all healthy in this place, eh? All good backs, eh? Okay. Can we have a chair again, please? Thank you, Murray. God bless you. Your name again? Sorry. Kevin. Praise God. Let's look at Kevin's legs. Okay. They grow out. And it grew out. Who prayed for you? Okay. Todd White. Okay. And you still got back pain now? Okay. Raise your hands to the Lord. Let's stretch out our hands to Kevin. Thank you, Father God, for your presence right now on Kevin in Jesus' name. There it is. There it is. There it is. That's it. God's touching your back. There it is. Even more. Even more. There's the presence. Yes. Oh, he's touching you again. He's just sucking in. God is just touching it more and more. There it is. There it is. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, he's removed the pain. Okay. Bend over. Look for the pain. Okay. Raise your hands again. Jesus prayed twice for the man that was blind. Thank you, Father God. Thank you for your presence. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for what you are doing in this man's life. He's got a holy call on his life. Thank you that you sanctified him, that you've set him apart for your call. Thank you, Father God, for what you started in his life, you will surely finish. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you. Thank you. Amen. Praise God. Bless you. Thank you. Back pain. Where's your... You have pain right now? Lower back. Okay. Sit down, please. Have someone check your legs before? Never. Can you hold the mic? Thank you. Let me check your legs. Check your legs right. Okay. They are the same length. They're fine. 100%. Stand up, please. Okay. What's your name? Herlene. Arlene. Arlene. You believe that Jesus can heal you? Okay. Raise your hands to the Lord. Close your eyes. Father, thank you now for your presence. There it is. There it is. Coming on you right now. Healing your daughter from any pain. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. Be healed. Okay. Look at me. Look for the pain. Look for the pain. Wiggle. Is it still there? Okay. Trust God and He will remove the pain. Okay? Praise God. Thank you. Bless you. You know, when God paid for our healing on the cross. Listen, people. God paid for our healing on the cross. Okay? So when I give you a gift, what do you say? Thank you. That's how easy it is to receive your healing. You don't need to pay for it. You don't need to strive for it. You just need to accept it. Okay? You with me? Okay. Praise God. Have you learned something on the finances? Does it make sense? Praise God. Thank you, people. See you tonight. Love you much. Ciao, ciao. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you, Didi. I was going to. Okay. The importance of prayer creating your weight. First hand up. Second hand up. It's yours. I'm not throwing that far. I didn't even have to ask. Thank you. That's how it is. If you come expecting, you just receive. Yeah, you're welcome. I hope you learned today. And just so you know, that's the Holy Spirit of what's being taught. We never talk about what are we going to talk about today. We just allow the Holy Spirit to move. We talk, and I knew what he was going to speak about today, but I never said anything. So, except he said, is that okay? I said, sure. Yeah. So, tonight at 7 o'clock again, we do have more of those books available. They're down at the bottom there at $20 a piece. And if you cannot pay for it, we will supply you with that. Because it is important to know the importance of prayer. And so we will, but if you are able to, please, $20. and we can, yeah, just write book on the envelope in check form or whatever. We do have PayPal access for those of you who are that way, but we will take care of it. Make sure that we have, how many you have, 48 books in total, something like that we had, and well we need to save some for Pastor Brent King next week, but maybe we'll see. Father, bless the people. May the seeds that were thrown out today hit the fertile soil. And may you be blessed in all of it. May we hear testimonies of your provision, of your grace, of your healings and everything. And may you be glorified in all of it. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. God bless you richly. We'll see you next time. If not tonight at 7, next week at 10:30 here again. God bless you richly.